views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hi, everybody. I'm Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience some groundbreaking ways to transform your company's culture. Twice each month, we have some of the foremost experts on organizational culture and leadership, helping you understand how to make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. Today, I am really thrilled to have Mark Somel with us. And we're going to be talking about how AI is actually changing the culture of feedback. So this is going to be a really, really interesting show. Let me introduce Mark. Mark is the co-founder of Zeal Technology, and he's passionate about creating positive impact on the lives of company employees. With Zeal, Mark helps companies transform their employee engagement and company culture and really recognize that these are keys to creating an environment where people can thrive and succeed. Zeal seeks to equip company leaders with the tools and information necessary to make their organizations great places to work. Before founding Zeal, Mark worked as president of Percussion Software, driving the launch of Percussion's first product and transforming that company's culture. And before that, he served as COO and CFO at Mazinga, a social software and analytics company, and was a principal at Neocarta Ventures, a $300 million venture capital fund. At Neocarta, Mark worked closely with the CEOs of portfolio companies on business strategy, raising capital, M&A transactions, and operations. After beginning his career at Oracle, he helped to grow the Oracle financing division from $150 million U.S. operation to a $500 million global business. Mark holds a BA in quantitative economics from Stanford and an MBA from the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Claudette. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm really glad you're here. I'm looking forward to this conversation. I think it's going to be so interesting for listeners. So I know you're a co-founder of Zeal Technology, and for anybody who's new to your company and to this particular space, the AI space, can you tell us a little bit about what you guys are seeking to do?
Sure. So we help companies, organizations with employee engagement or organizational culture. We do that through artificial intelligence, and we do it two ways. We use our AI two ways. One is with a chatbot, which interacts with employees. And two is we use some artificial intelligence techniques around sentiment analysis and crunching through our data to help you understand what's going on with your business.
So you're really bringing, and I know we're going to talk about this more a little later in the show, but you're really bringing data into something that can be so nebulous, right? Like culture and engagement. Wow.
Yeah, it's fun. And you know, we do talk to a lot of HR leaders and people strategy leaders. And, you know, the funny story I like to tell as we got started is, you know, typically an HR leader goes into a leadership team meeting with slides about how everything's going in the business. And, you know, they're, in those meetings, you might see a sales leader with detailed pipeline reports and numbers, and a marketing leader with their MQLs and all these other data. And the people operations leader's in there with a couple slides about recruiting and when you're throwing the next party. And we realize that we can do a lot better than that. Let's get some data around the people.
Right.
We can't replace the people in the business in terms of, you know, having human-to-human relationships, but let's get some data around people.
Yeah, I love that. And I was chuckling when you talked about slides, you know, people coming in with their PowerPoints all ready to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Tell us about founding Zeal. What's the story there? What prompted you all to come together and do this?
Yeah, so there was a group of five of us that had worked together for a couple of years at Percussion. And we had some great experiences there, but we also saw, that was a smallish company in the 80 to 100 people range, just how the culture and morale can shift very quickly. And the things I notice as a leader, sometimes news travels very slowly upward to me. And what my co-founders notice is that it could be the smallest thing could have actually, a massive impact on morale. And so what I found with the one of my co-founders who ran HR for Percussion, she and I would sit down once a week and go through a list of employees and talk about how we thought they were doing, both, professionally and personally. Mm-hmm. And see if there's anything we needed to address there. And after a couple months of doing that, literally, in a spreadsheet, we realized there has to be a better way than doing it manually like that. And so that was really one of the main genesis of starting Zeal.
How interesting, right? So something in a way you were trying to do on your own, right? With the HR director. And there needed to be something else. Absolutely. And so there was also, you guys have a why. It seems when I've looked at your website, you have a really clear reason for being. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I mean, we're very purpose-focused driven organization. And, our founding story is as much about picking the people that we wanted to work with. Uh-huh. And that's a really important thing for us. And, as we carry that forward in our business and our own purpose, our purpose is really about making companies great places to work, because we realized if we can create a great company on our own and we have these ideas on how to help other people, why just do it for ourselves? Let's see if we can help every company out there make themselves better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you have an interesting story you told me, right? About how you were a VC, right?
Yeah.
And an entrepreneur, and now you've become an entrepreneur. And there was a whole metamorphosis there, wasn't it? Wasn't there?
Yeah, there really was. As I sometimes jokingly refer to as having an MBA from Wharton, I might be the least qualified person on the planet to care about people. It's not fair to my fellow Wharton graduates, because there's really quite incredible people out there. But it's just reputationally, you come out of business school with these tools around understanding financials and doing due diligence and digging into details. And the business schools do their best to try to help you, help train you around people and management. But the reality is until you experience it on a day-to-day basis, until you experience somebody coming to you and say, my child is sick, I have to go get them from school, but you have a huge deadline for tomorrow, and you have to look the person in the eye and realize that what they really need in that moment is compassion. Mm-hmm. You don't get that in business school. So you alluded to my own personal transformation. And I spent 10 years as a venture capitalist, and I loved the job and really enjoyed all the companies I invested in. But one of the things that happens in that role is that you really are sitting on the sidelines and you watch how these companies do from a distance. And most of the way you watch is through the reports that you get from the CEOs and other leaders of those businesses. And, we're also data driven these days. It's a lot of numbers, it's financials, it's, various sales reports and whatnot. And it becomes very easy to stand and kind of hide behind the numbers and make all your decisions based on numbers. And that leads you to making decisions about people, thinking about people as numbers too, or, this whole idea that we call people assets, which, mm-hmm. I used to use those words and now makes me cringe. And to think that, we can go through a board report and make these sweeping decisions about, people without really actually taking the people into account. Looking back on it, I think it was pretty naive of me at the time. And as I, shifted into being an entrepreneur myself, and I spent, 7 years inside companies and running companies before I started Zeal. And I can even look back on some of the early decisions I made when I started at Mazinga that I look back on and cringe a little bit, because I walked into there with the same mentality. And So the transformation over that time period was trying to shed this old feeling about looking purely at the numbers and realizing that it's those people who get up every morning and come into the office every day that actually make the business work, that make the numbers actually work. Mm-hmm. It's how they feel when they get up in the morning. Do they want to come into the office or do they want to just go home? And if people have meaning and purpose behind their jobs, they're much more likely to be excited about coming in. And there's so much more to it, Claudette, but that's, you know, really, I think that transformation's pulled me all the way through to the point where I said, I've got to do something different and I've got to go see if I can help other companies.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that story. I think it's incredibly powerful, you know, to hear about going from, you know, people are numbers and assets, right? That's what you learned. Right. In business school, to saying, wow, you know, someone's sick or their kid is sick and they really need to go pick them up. And we have to have compassion for that in our company. Right. And one of the things that a term that I don't like is human capital. So I always say, well, actually we're human beings. Right. We are not capital. And I often work in companies where, as a consultant myself, where people will say, you know, this come to your point about, you know, the reason the numbers exist is because of people. They'll say, you know, this company wouldn't even be here if it weren't for us as employees, right? Why isn't that recognized? They wouldn't be doing all the things they get to do. They meaning, you know, the people that own the company, if we weren't here doing these jobs, right? And just that feeling, that lack of connection they feel from the people they're working for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's well said.
And they're out, you know, some of their outrage is really justified. Why aren't we
And when your employees feel that way, you've got to recognize that when they show that sense of ownership, that they want to be part of it, that's a good thing. And it may come out in ways that express, you know, strong emotion, but that emotion is a good sign that they're engaged and they're switched on. Even if that emotion is anger, that means that they still care. And that's, you know, that's important.
That's an excellent point. Right. And I think sometimes anger gets perceived, you know, in a negative way, when, like you said, it's really about ownership. It's about wanting something to improve and caring so much about it that you get angry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's often overlooked as complaining. Things like that.
Yeah, it can be. Yep. You know, I think there's probably a part of that conversation that can lead into millennials as well, because the millennial generation here, they're very vocal about their work. They're very vocal about having meaning and purpose in their work. And you know, there's people, you know, I'm a Gen Xer, and I think there's a lot of people in my generation that are still trying to figure out millennials. And the reality is the millennials are here to stay. And it's not up to them to figure out how to work with us. It's incumbent on us as leaders to come meet them and figure out how they want to work, because they're going to be the future leaders and, you know, the people doing great things in these companies.
Yeah, really well said. And I think that's such an important point. We're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll pick up where we left off. You are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley. And when we come back, Mark's going to share with us some really interesting, fun stories about how Zeal has been able to help companies and some of the really interesting feedback they've been able to uncover. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days, because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
If you have been struggling with fear and anxiety, you know how debilitating these emotions can be. You constantly doubt yourself. You can't make decisions and feel more and more insecure and stuck. Dr. Friedman Schaub's book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, will provide you with the insights and tools to break through these challenges. Through a step-by-step process, Dr. Schaub explains how to resolve the subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety and build a strong foundation of inner peace and confidence. Visit www.thefearandanxietysolution.com and get your copy now.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedman Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
Choose the New Earth on The Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley. And for those of you just joining us, my guest today is Mark Sommel. He's the co-founder of Zeal Technology, which is a company that is changing how we receive feedback on culture using artificial intelligence. And so, Mark, we were just talking about how you were mentioning how millennials are here to stay, you know, and when millennials tend to be vocal about how they feel about work and what's happening. And then it's really incumbent upon us as generation above them to really, it sounds like, meet them halfway, right? And see what they have to offer.
Yeah, I think it's really important. And we see this, you know, from the feedback that we see at our customers as well. The millennials are really engaged in wanting to get more out of their work other than just working. Mm-hmm. The reputation for Gen Xers is we just put our heads down and go. Why that is. Somebody else will probably have a reason for that. But
yeah.
we have this generation coming through that really care about what they do. And you know, if we can meet them halfway, or if we have to go farther and they apply that sense of purpose they have to helping our businesses and helping the businesses they're a part of, then that can be very powerful. And we also have to recognize that this next generation coming through sees their careers as pretty fluid. We used to think about retaining employees as, you know, how do we keep people in their seats? And, at Zeal, and I think at a lot of companies we've talked to, people look at this millennial generation and realize, well, we're going to have this group of people for 2 or 3 years. Let's get the most, you know, the most out of them. And the only way we get the most out of them is by launching them on their careers and giving them something that they can really sink their teeth into. And I think that's good for businesses because it's treating the employees the right way.
Yeah, the millennials have done us a service and from that perspective, right? Really asking to be treated. And I think too, there's a sense of them caring about their work, but also wanting it to be incredibly purposeful.
Yeah.
And when I, almost 20 years ago, when I started out as a coach, one of the things that I did a lot of work with at the time was helping people discover their life purpose or find careers that really worked for them. Because as you said, previous generations, you just put your head down. You got a law degree, you did whatever, right? and you worked. And then it was when people were in their mid 30s to 40s, even early 50s, when they started to say, I don't like this. I want right. something, you know, that's more in alignment with who I am as a person. And millennials are there more at the beginning, right, of thinking that way.
So we actually see some of the direct results of this with our customers. So
good.
You know, looking a little bit deeper at what our product does, we help our customers gather not just, you know, numerical feedback on how people are doing by asking them questions, but also on open feedback. You know, employees are allowed to comment on whatever they want. And there is quite a number of our customers where, you know, they put our product in place and some of the first feedback they hear is about vision. And they ask questions, you know, like, where is this company going? Or, I don't understand the vision. Can somebody talk to us about it? And I think that's, there's a direct response there that, you know, whether it's this generation, but again, it's, we all benefit from it. We have these ideals of putting things like vision and mission on the wall. And now somebody's holding us to it, you know?
Yeah.
If we're going to put a vision out there, well, what are we doing? Let's go after it. And if we put it on the wall, but then we don't talk about it every month or every meeting, then we're not really living it. And so I find it fascinating that we get a lot of that feedback from our customers.
That's great. And it reminds me, I've had two guests recently, just coincidentally, who both mentioned that when Enron was going through their big collapse, they had the value of integrity pasted on the walls of their company. this vision about where, you know, where companies are, where's the company going, what are the values. So I know you have some really great stories about because you've shared them with me, how you've been able to help specific companies really uncover key pieces of information that were impacting morale. Do you want to share one of those with us?
Sure. So there's one of my favorite stories from about a year ago, shows the power of gathering real-time feedback from your employees and make sure you're doing it on a consistent basis. There are a lot of companies that still do, you know, annual or semi-annual engagement surveys, and those capture discrete moments in time, but they don't capture all those time, the moments in between where there's so much going on. And as I alluded to, you know, with my experience in founding Zeal, morale can shift on a moment's notice. So we had one of our customers about a year ago, their morale scores that we were recording dropped by 40% in a matter of a week. Mm-hmm. And then I got a phone call from the CEO and the CPO there asking, Mark, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And I kind of jokingly responded, well, I'm not there, so I don't know, but let's go find out. Let's
right.
go ask everyone. And so they used our product to send out some additional anonymous questions, and that was all prompted to a town hall meeting where they could speak openly with people. And what they found with the anonymous response that they got back from the employees is that there was a rumor going around that the company was for sale.
Mm.
And when that happens, what do most people worry about? They worry about their jobs.
Oh yeah.
And so that's why morale fell off a cliff. The company reacted immediately. So kudos to them. They held a town mm-hmm. hall and they talked about it, you know, openly with the entire company. And, you know, looking at the charts that we track for them, morale rebounded within a week or two back on its kind of typical track. And so that was a, you know, it was a great moment for the company for a couple of reasons. The biggest one being that, you know, moments like that help you build trust with your employees. But of course, it was a great moment for us, great validation moment for us, as we were able to help one of our customers really solve a challenge very quickly.
I absolutely love that story for a number of reasons, you know, the ones you just shared, and then also just the power of a rumor, right? The
yeah.
power of a rumor, the power of, and probably the person who started talking about it, heard it from what they thought was a good source, right? It may have all been you know, just somebody heard something and turned it into something else and told somebody else, right? That's usually how it happens. So no one was intending to start anything, most likely. And yet you see, to the point though, that morale dropped in a measurable way, right? That fascinates me.
Yeah. And it drops measurably in a really massive way. And
right.
And all that time that then people spend talking to each other about, what's going on and the water cooler time. It's all productivity lost, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And but it's also, it's not just productivity lost. You're sending people into an emotional tailspin that doesn't help their lives either. So there's so many reasons to try to get that back on track. And I think, you know, what happens at a lot of companies is the rumors happen. The rumors always, almost always worse than the news. Those rumors travel upwards so slowly. Nobody wants to give bad news to their boss. Mm-hmm. And it's not, people aren't, they're not lying. They're just, they don't want to deliver bad news. And so the news kind of gets slowly soft pedaled up to the point where it's not news anymore. And so a situation like this, you know, we turn it around in 2 weeks. A situation like this could take 2 or 3 months. And that's a lot of stress on the organization that you can really do without with, you know, using technology like ours.
I agree. It's a stress, like you said, the less productivity, but more importantly, the stress on the people, right? And the people who are going home thinking, I wonder if I should just put my resume together, right? And they're thinking about that, and then they're distracted at work. And it's, and yeah, then the leaders in the organization don't know yet. So they're wondering what the heck is going on, right? What's changed? We don't get it. We can't figure it out. So they're spent distracted by it. It could just go on and on, right? So it was such a great story of such a quick, it was like a really quick turnaround, right? Got to the bottom of it. They had the town hall meeting and things rebounded.
Yeah, that's right. And it's, you know, that highlights a particular issue that we were able to help with immediately. You know, there are other things that people give feedback on that you may not be able to act on right away. And one of my favorite stories, because it's just happened 2 weeks ago, so it's really, really front of mind, is one of our customers came back to us and told us that they had the most interesting piece of feedback. And again, kudos to them. They addressed it immediately in a town hall. But they collected questions for a town hall meeting. And one of the questions they got from their employees, and this is a tech company. Mm-hmm. So mind you, with everything that's going on in the news these days, this person asked the question, why aren't there more women on our senior leadership team?
Mm, wow. Good for them.
That's a brave question.
Yeah.
And I would say equally, you know, brave of the CEO of that company to put that right out on the table in front of the entire company and say, look, somebody just asked this question and it's a really important question. And it's the kind of feedback that as a company, you may not be able to act on in the moment and change, but you know, there's no better way to build trust with the employees by at least bringing it up, starting the conversation with people and talking about, you know, how you think it's important and how you can address that in the future as a business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When people raise important questions like that, in whatever form they're raised, I agree. If they're not addressed and there's not the opportunity to have a dialogue around it, then it will really fray trust, right? And people will shut down. When they ask that kind of a courageous question.
Yeah, you know, and in a way that that the person's looking to engage, and so it's another one of those great questions that, you know, the first time you read it, you might say, oh my goodness, how do we deal with this? But if you really step back and think about the person, you know, put your empathy hat on and say, why were they asking that question?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they asked that question because they really actually care. You know, they care about the business.
Mm-hmm.
And we alluded to this before. They care about having gender equality, which mm-hmm. is a really important issue that we see particularly in the tech industry.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all good things. So, you know, let's address this, you know, in any way that we can. But put it on the table with people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to actually take a quick break. And when we come back, Mark's going to share a few more stories with us, which I love. These stories, bring to light how important it is to address these issues. And in some ways, how easy it can be to at least get these conversations started. I'm Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential.
Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class Facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Winning at the game of money. Lynn Brown is now offering Full Spectrum Finance, a progressive 12-month program that will help you to navigate through the mechanics of financial expansion. Finally, a financial planner who looks at the full spectrum of money and abundance. Engage you in the mental, physical, and energetic aspects of finance. This is Full Spectrum Finance. Are you ready to get into it? For more information, go to fullspectrumfinance.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Raging Skillet Radio, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
On Cultural Brilliance Radio, I'm Claudette Rowley. And for those of you just joining us, my guest today is Mark Sommel, who is the co-founder of Zeal Technology. And Mark and I have been having a really fun and interesting conversation about a whole different way to approach feedback on your culture through artificial intelligence. So Mark, you were just telling some really interesting stories about how your technology has been able to help companies in this very real world, right in the moment kind of a way. And I know you had a couple more that were sounded like they were, you know, really interesting for listeners to hear about. Do you mind diving right into those?
Yeah, absolutely. We had a great story from a few months ago from another chief people officer who got a bunch of great feedback. And again, you know, you can see there's a commonality here of companies addressing this via town hall meetings, which really is about transparency. This company got a number of pieces of feedback, and we were just talking before about how there are some things you can act on and some things you can't, and that, you know, as you prepare to get feedback from employees, you have to be ready for that. And so this particular company got a couple of what I would call layups. So one of the pieces of feedback was the time of the town hall meetings, and you know, they held them at noon on Fridays and they served lunch, and I mean, who would have thought that would be a bad time to have a town hall meeting, right? Except for except for their team in Singapore, who was getting on the phone at midnight, on a weekend night. So it's funny that's just something that small came up, and it was so easy for them to address. They changed the time, and everyone was happy. But again, you know, for whatever reason, somebody hadn't brought it up before. And in that same town hall meeting, she got feedback from apparently a number of men in the organization who were complaining about the cleanliness of the men's bathroom. And And, you know, she got right up there in front of the employees, and she is, you know, whole philosophy was on transparency. If there was a piece of feedback out there, she was going to address it in some way, some form or another. So she said, in the meeting, she said, now look, guys, we have a janitorial service come and clean the bathroom once a night. The rest of the day, it's on you. So she put it right back to him. And, you know, in a lot of ways, it was exactly what they needed to hear. And we've all seen that, you know, who's been in a company where nobody cleans up the dishes in the sink. I mean, everyone's right. Seen that everywhere. It's just it was just a really funny way for her to go address it.
That it really is, especially because, yeah, it's being cleaned every 24 hours, guys. Right. You know, so clean up after yourselves. Otherwise, right.
Right. Right. we've had other ways getting a little bit more in the specifics. You know, I've talked a lot about how, you know, we've helped organizations as a whole, but we've also, you know, we've had some great circumstances with individuals inside companies. So, you know, with our product, you can segment your company any way you want. So you're not limited to a hierarchy. You can segment your company by tags, and we have customers who you know, segment it by gender, by tenure, by department, of course, by any way they want. And you know, what that allows you to do is get a little bit more granular in the organization. And you know, there's a great story in one of our companies where if you look at their customer success team, that team's morale was lower than the rest of the company by 15% consistently every week after week after week. Hmm. And they spotted it, and I had a conversation with the woman who runs HR there, and she asked, what do you think? How should we address this? And we had an open conversation about it, and it turns out that the person running that team, it was their first leadership role. Mm-hmm. And it's a funny thing we do in our and all our companies is we take our best performers, and what do is we promote them.
Right.
If you look at it, you know, let's take an engineering team, for example. We take our best engineers who have taken, you know, 4 years of training in college and maybe 3 years of on-the-job training, and we promote them to manager, and we give them a desk, and we say, good luck.
Yeah, and you've never managed
no
before,
idea what
go ahead, have at it.
Yeah, and with no training. And, you know, maybe we give them a day or two here or there, and we expect them to be great leaders. Just because they're great engineers or great client success people.
Yeah.
And, you know, in some ways that's what we found with this person is, you know, they just needed some guidance. And so through a combination of some external training, some leadership training, as well as some mentorship from inside the company, from some of the more experienced managers, this person got some great development that they needed. And, you know, within 6 months, the morale scores on their team, on that person's team, ended up being better than it, the rest of the company. It's a great
wow.
success story for them.
Yeah. And it just speaks to the power of, right, this, it would have been hard for that information to flow to the right person necessarily without what you guys were able to bring to the table, right? That the morale was 15% lower, which is, okay, we need to investigate that, right? There's something going on there. And it sounds like it was a real gift to the team, but also to that new manager who probably just needed some help, like you said, in learning what he or she needed to learn.
It seems like in so many cases, it is people just needing help. But you combine that with the fact that we just generally don't want to give negative feedback to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, somebody could end up in a situation where they're not doing well, but they have no idea.
Right.
I think generally businesses are trying to get better at that. You know, what I think historically we've looked at things like retention metrics, you know,
mm-hmm.
so that person, you know, if they didn't get the help they needed, maybe three people on their team would have left before somebody finally said, we have a problem. And by then,
yeah.
you've got three good people, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a situation recently on a project I'm on right now, cultural transformation. Project. And it came to light through a series of events that there was someone in the organization that other folks had issues with for 8 years and had
wow.
never said anything to this person's, you know, this person's manager, right? This person's the leader that was responsible for this person. It had never floated up to this person. He had absolutely no idea what was going on. And you can imagine the fallout from that and the damage that's been done just because, you know, this person didn't get the feedback they needed to change what they were doing because nobody told them.
So, yeah, that's a tough situation. And I think the conventional wisdom out there is when attrition happens as a result of that, those types of situations, it's usually the A players that leave first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we get ourselves in this weird loop where those A players leave before we actually react. And that's why we need to get feedback before, you know, before it gets to that point and while we can still act on it.
Yeah, because otherwise you end up with, you know, some mediocrity, right, within your organization potentially in terms of what, talent and skill and things like that, you know, or just I find that when feedback's not being given, whether that's positive or constructive, if it's not baked into what's happening, that the excellence in the organization, it's hard for that organization to really live into its potential excellence, you know, without that feedback.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a great way
going
to put
back,
it.
Yeah. And so, so good thing you guys are around to help us with this. And one question I have, and I know you're going to talk a little bit more about AI and Ava, is in terms of, you know, what you all have set up allows people to ask these anonymous questions, which is great, right? So they're asking questions they might not have asked before. I'm curious, have you gotten a sense, you know, from your own, you know, many leadership experiences or even the clients you're working with now, what has stopped those folks from asking those questions more directly? You know what I'm saying? Without needing to go through an anonymous vehicle or form.
I think in a word, it's fear.
Fear. Okay.
And it results probably from a couple of things, but I think there are going to be a lot of people out there who have been in an organization where even an engagement survey ends up being used as a witch hunt.
Yeah,
and it just takes one of those in your career before you decide that you don't want to give honest feedback because you're worried about your job.
Yeah.
So we aspire to have this, you know, complete trust and complete transparency. But, you know, we have to recognize that people come with some of their own scars. And I think in an ideal world, we'd have organizations where you don't need anonymity, where people are just able to say whatever's on their mind. But what we found in practice is that people really need to have confidence that their identity is not going to be revealed for them to speak the truth, which is really what you want to get.
I agree completely. Yeah. You know, speaking the truth is the, it just opens up, even in the examples you've given, opens up the door to something to get resolved easily or something that gets revealed that needs to be handled that could be substantial. Right. But now that we know it exists, we can do something about it. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we are going to go ahead and take a quick break. This is Claudette Rowley. You're listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio here with my guest today, Mark Sommel. And when we get back, we're going to learn a little bit more about AI and how it helps employee engagement and about Ava. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
The Janice Underwood Show, helping you create the life you want, not the life you tolerate. Tune in each Monday, 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as Janice delves into the life creator system and the next step in your spiritual evolution. Janice Underwood is gifted at helping spiritually minded people shift their mindsets to unleash the creator within. Our souls wish to wake us up. Those of us listening hear the call. Do you? For more information, visit JaniceUnderwood.com.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Everybody, we're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley. I'm here with my guest today, Mark Sommel. And Mark and I have been talking about how to really increase employee engagement and change company culture through the technology his company has formed that really gives employees an opportunity to share what's on their minds. And I know, Mark, you've shared some really insightful and practical stories with us. And I think we were shifting now into a little bit about, you know, AI and the underpinnings of how this all works. Before we go there, though, as listeners are interested in learning more about what you guys do, what's the best way for them to find you?
The best way is our website, which is just zeal.technology. And on this day and age of domain names, there's no .com at the end.
Okay, cutting edge. All right, zeal.technology, excellent. And so tell us about, you know, AI and Ava and, yeah, whatever you'd like to share about how this makes your what you do really work.
Yes, so as I talked about in founding Zeal, the story about trying to understand how our employees were doing, the other key story in our founding and what we've carried through is this idea of using artificial intelligence. The first way we've applied that is by creating a chatbot, which if you're not familiar with chatbots, it's kind of like talking to Siri on your phone. But in this case, it's texting through a messaging application with our AI, whose name is Ava. And what we realized, you know, we had a couple of our engineers who were my co-founders who were building chatbots in their spare time. And what we found is that people really had fun messaging with these chatbots that could talk back to them. And we realized that putting these two ideas together, artificial intelligence as a communication medium to speak to employees, was a much more engaging way than just asking them to fill out surveys. And so that's how our product is primarily delivered, either, you know, be a chatbot over messaging application, or in some cases email as well, and that's primarily used to drive up the interaction with employees. So if our primary job here is to collect data for you on how your employees are doing, mm-hmm. then the more data we collect, the better we're doing. And what we're finding is that when you put people in front of a fun, chatty robot, they're more likely to interact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like seems to bring it to life a little more, right, for people?
It does. And yeah. She, you know, what you know, we like to talk about is that she can develop a one-on-one relationship with people. And it's not, you know, this is not in the realm of creepiness. You know, we still realize
right.
that, you know, you still need people-to-people interactions. And frankly, we view what we do as supporting and making those people-to-people interactions better, not replace them. But, no, but Ava has some fun things she does that make her, and you notice I'm using pronouns, that make her seem more real than just, again, filling out a survey and going into some kind of black hole.
Yeah, and there's some, it seemed to me when you gave me a demo of the dashboard, right, and how this works, so I get to see a little bit of it in real time, Ava has this opportunity to be very engaging, right? And you mentioned can talk about the weather, can make a joke, right? That there's, so it seems like, it, you know, in a company, it's like a fun little thing for people to interact with, right? Oh, Ava, right? Does it have that kind of element energy to it?
It does. And it does. Yeah. And that's, you know, when I was talking about our engineers, this was kind of the other lightning stroke for us in starting the company. When these engineers built a chatbot that they called Bill, and it had an avatar of Bill Murray, and would literally tell jokes and really engage with people, and it can hold a 10-minute conversation. And you know, we're not aiming to make it mimic a human being. You know, you're talking to a computer,
right.
But it's still fun and engaging. And what we learned from Bill is that you would hear the talk around the company because Bill also had a job to do, and people would ask the question, what does Bill think about XYZ? And so they personified this chatbot, and that's, you know, that's part of our hope with Ava, that Ava is really there to support your company and support mm-hmm. your team and learning how people are doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, that's one of the ways we've applied artificial intelligence. And then we're also using, you know, what people might refer to more as machine learning, but some more of the data side of artificial intelligence by using sentiment analysis to help us sort through the feedback you get from your employees and then some other things we do to help, again, support the data side of this.
Yeah, and so people who are newer to these ideas, what is sentiment analysis?
So sentiment analysis allows us to look at the feedback that people are giving you and categorize it. And in a very simple form, we can categorize it as positive, negative, or neutral. Mm-hmm. And as things get more sophisticated, you can pull out specific words. You know, if there's a common word, let's say people are giving a lot of feedback about vision. You know, we pull out the word vision, and we can tell you if there's, you know, positive or negative words associated with that. And so we help kind of peel back and find patterns in the feedback mm-hmm. data.
Okay, got it. So it's really about categorizing and looking at the patterns. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what is your, I mean, you and your co-founders together, do you collectively have a vision of what you'd like to see, you know, emerge through your work with the technology that you've built? Is there a vision, a 5-year vision, 10-year vision of the impact you'd like to have?
Yeah, we think we can support every part of this human-to-human interaction inside companies. And it starts, you know, starting with engagement. We think there's a ton to do around learning and development. And there's a lot more to do around employee self-service. Employee self-service is the place we've gone next. We've built a second AI whose name is Artie.
Mm-hmm.
Artie helps employees find information about their company, starting specifically with things like benefits. So you take a really complex thing, and we use, you know, an AI to sort through all that information and make it easier for employees. So, you know, if you're an employee with a question, you may try to read your benefits documents, and we've all tried to do that, and it's almost impossible to decipher.
Exactly.
So you pick up the phone and you call your HR manager. And unless that person is really trained in benefits, they say, wait, and they call the benefits person.
Right.
And it goes, you follow this chain, and it takes you hours and maybe days to get a response to your question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're applying AI to that problem. So the AI learns what's in your benefits. And as an employee, you can ask a question and get an answer right there, right on the spot.
What a relief. Wow. That sounds great, right?
Yeah.
Just get an answer. Yeah. Those documents are usually you know, you need a special degree to read those. And so that sounds like such a breath of fresh air, I'm sure, for many, many people. Many people inside companies to be able to go to Artie and find the answer and then move on with their day, right? Easy.
It's a great solution for the employees and for the companies. It's a huge productivity increase because some of them are at the point where they've had to build call centers to address employee questions. And so it's expensive and time consuming. And we think we found a better way.
Yeah, and I love the simplicity. I know it's not simple to build all of it, but the simplicity of the execution, right, of what the employee sees, it sounds easy and fun. So what great stuff, Mark. I love what you've shared today. It really sheds a whole different light on employee engagement, retention, culture, right? How we get feedback, how this can all be used to really help companies and employees have better experiences. What I'm curious, what would you love to share? What, you know, what's an idea or a thought or a couple of words that you'd love to leave listeners with today? What would you like them to, if they take away anything, what would you like them to take?
Yeah, I'd love for them to stop and take the time to listen to their team, ask their teams for feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. Stop and listen, ask for feedback. And listen to it when you get it, right?
Yeah, listen to it and then use that to build trust with people.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for that. And Mark, thank you so much for being on the show. I really want to thank you for today.
Thank you, Claudia. It's great to be here.
So happy you were here. And thanks for sharing such great information. I want to thank all of you for tuning in to Cultural Brilliance Radio. As always, we had a great time. Please join me the second and fourth Fridays of every month at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. And look forward to seeing you all next week. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at claudetterowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.